and welcome back to another episode of Cycling with your Cycling Informant. It has been a very long time. I'm delighted to restart the podcast, and today I am joined by Keegan Swirbel of Human Powered Health. Keegan, thanks for coming. How are you?
Absolutely, mate. I'm super happy to be here. First podcast for me, so.
Oh, superb. I had to blow the cobwebs off the podcast. So essentially, we're going to do a review of your season. Your case is kind of pretty unique and tells us a lot about the COVID era, let's call it. So I'm going to rewind to 2020, and you had a successful 2019 season. You achieved some good results in the States, and then you were looking to try and come over to Europe, and you secured a deal with Ljubljana, and that all fell through, unfortunately, because of COVID hitting, obviously, early 2020. Then you were left in the States for a bit, and then eventually you did get the Stagiaire deal with Rally at the end of the year. Was that right?
Yep, exactly.
After trying to get to Europe for so long, how frustrating was it when that all fell through?
Obviously, incredibly frustrating, but in the end, I got lucky that year. So how I got that, I trained all summer, you know, and just because I like to train, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to continue getting stronger. And I got in phenomenal shape, you know, come August, whatever. Looked like at that point that I wasn't going to do any races with Ljubljana. So I was like, fuck it. I hope I can swear. Yeah, I'll try not to swear. But so I was like, I'm going to go to, like, on a road trip with my buddy, and we'll just like kind of just do some biking and maybe hit some KOMs, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up going for kind of a famous KOM in Boulder, Colorado. And I got the KOM, and somehow it got the attention of the rally boss. And he like was like, yo, you want to like come over and race Portugal with us? And I was like, of course. Yeah. And so I did that, and, you know, ended up working out. It was a tough year for everyone, but.
So then you got the deal with Rally, and 2021 was your first full season living in Europe, experiencing pretty sure what you've dreamed about for a number of years now, living as a European-based pro. Again, it was COVID disrupted. You only had 22 race days, but that experience of achieving your dream and racing in Europe, what was that like?
It was sweet. I was super hyped to be over here. I moved to Spain, blah, blah, blah. It's all exciting. And then the problem started coming. I don't want to waste all my whole time, your whole evening telling you all my health stories, but I had like this weird sunburn in my lips that I got in January. And like over the next few months, it like basically turned into this like systemic infection, and I felt so tired, and I was on this antibiotic, that antibiotic, and I was just like barely able to train, and blah, blah, blah. Nobody had any idea. I saw a bunch of doctors, and eventually, after 5 or 6 months of that, it kind of went away for various reasons that I don't quite know right now either, but yeah, and then I went back to the Volta Portugal and broke my collarbone right away, and that was kind of like the end of my season. So I barely raced. Pretty horrendous season, but like you said, it was at the same time my dream to be over here racing, so, and just be living in Europe and experiencing that whole deal. So can't complain that much, I guess, at the end of the day.
How hard was it? Obviously, you're away from friends, you're away from family. How hard was that experience of, you know, because I remember talking to you at the time, and it just must be pretty hard. You know, you're pretty low. You're not able to race. You're not able to train. I mean, how was it tough?
Yeah, it was, I mean, to me, it felt horrible. I know there's a lot more horrible things that have happened to many people, but, you know, in the moment, it's definitely not an enjoyable thing. I had no idea. The worst thing was that we had no idea what it was, if there was a way to fix it, or if it's just maybe like, I definitely remember days where I'm like, waking up and being like, oh, shit, I just don't think my body is made for this sport. And it was tough for sure. And guess you gotta just take the blows when they come and try and keep moving. And that was kind of my year of those. So
Who
yeah.
kept you going? Who was pretty good at helping you? Did you have some friends close by or teammates?
Just mostly my parents. I mean, just I don't know. I wouldn't say anyone really helped me. I just suffered on my own. Of course, my parents helped me, but there's only so much you can do with words. If you feel a certain way, it's got to just deal with it, and it worked itself out eventually. At least that issue did. So,
So
yeah.
let me get this right. The initial issue was sunburn on your lips.
Yeah, so I was training in Arizona in the US, which is super hot, and I remember this day vividly. Like, did a big long ride, and I forgot. I usually bring my chapstick with me, like my
Yeah.
stuff that you put in your lips. I forgot it that day, and I remember being way out there, just being like, oh, I'm getting so burned today. And I got back, and my lips were just so fried. And I remember like eating spicy food a few days later, and just like being in agony. I actually have pictures of it. It's pretty bizarre. My lips like got so swollen. And yeah, like I said, over the next couple of months, it wasn't getting better. I was like, what the hell? Super painful. Like my lips, like Bubba Gump from Forrest Gump, like big swollen lips. And yeah, I think what actually ended up totally screwing me was I went on three different courses of antibiotics over the course of like a month and a half, just different ones, and it just totally just destroyed my gut biome and all the stuff that that comes with. And then it was just even worse, and I, yeah, just a whole kind of nightmare of unfortunate happenings.
So,
So.
winter of this year, going back to the start of the season, I assume, did you go home to America for a bit or did you stay in Europe?
No, I actually stayed in Europe. Wanted to be somewhere where it's not quite as bad weather. I mean, back where I lived in the US, it's super snowy in the winter. It's very, very difficult to train. So I was like, fuck yeah, like let's be in Spain, check out how the whole holiday stuff goes on here. And just, it's an experience that for me, I really was trying to take advantage of. A lot of my teammates and for American teammates, they just don't seem to like every day in Europe is a dread for them, but I love it over here. So I tried to, make the most of it, see the different Christmas cultures, which was pretty wild in Spain. Yeah.
Are you in, is it Girona? Was, is that where you were?
Here in Girona. Yep.
What's, did you fully embrace the Girona lifestyle?
During the holidays or in general?
In general, I mean, I know it's a
Oh yeah.
cycling hotspot, it's a lot of cafes, a lot of cafe culture.
Yeah, I'm not terribly big into the cafe stuff, but it is cool. Like I mean I'm obsessed with Spain. I absolutely love it over here. I worked my ass off to learn Spanish, and I haven't learned the Catalan yet, so I guess I haven't embraced Catalonia at all, but yeah, I love it over here. Definitely.
So then
Cycling or not, don't want to leave, but
we'll get to that. So
we'll get
then
to
this season, you kick off in the new race, the Gran Camino. Then you do Sicily and Hungary. What was that initial block like at the start of the season?
This is my next block of health issues. So basically, I had a great winter training, November, December. I was going well, finally getting back to like getting a good base under me, feeling good, blah, blah. And then around Christmas, I started kind of feeling a bit strange. I had a roommate at the time, and he started feeling really bizarre. Turns out he went home, blah, blah, blah. Turns out he rings me up like, oh my God, they just diagnosed me with mononucleosis. Which doesn't it doesn't quite add up the whole timeline, but yeah, for whatever reason, and I ended up doing a bunch of mono tests for two for January or December, late mid-December through, March, I just felt way, way off, totally fatigued again. And this was when I was like, all right, I am quitting. I hate the sport, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, totally not made for this. And then I did Gran Camino, got COVID the last day of that race, and then the COVID came and blah, blah, blah. Fucking, you know how it is. The lungs are screwed, all that stuff. Couldn't train. By this point, I was just starting from like a lower level of fitness than I've had literally since I started cycling in 2024 or in 2014, excuse me, 2014. And so, yeah, I was horrible the first half of the season. And then, yeah, second half of the year, I was physically better, but just nothing really came together. I was hoping, blah, blah, blah. I had a big crash in the race. And yeah, just again, like, I don't want to complain about my luck, but it just kind of has not been exactly lining up how I would have hoped the last 2 years.
One positive, if we can take it, you did get to ride a world tour race. You did get to ride Tour de Suisse. You got to experience that. Okay, half the peloton left the race by the end of the race because of COVID. What was that experience like? That world tour race. It's a tough, tough race.
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, we were definitely the weakest team there. I wasn't particularly in my best shape. And God, man, these guys on the flat starts, I'm not good on the flats. I'm as aerodynamic as a fucking sailboat. But man, these starts that they do, the first half an hour, 45 minutes of the race is just like so fast. That's the biggest difference that I noticed. Like, just absolutely hanging on for dear life just to get until the break goes, basically. And then, like, I'm always better at the end of a stage race. So when the mountains kind of came, I started kind of getting my better legs again. But man, it was a hard race. But yeah, like you said, phenomenal. I have a picture of me with the Zermatt in the background, and like Remco. This was the day that I kind of rode well. Remco's right there with me on my side, and like the Zermatt in the background. It's just crazy. So that'll be a memory that I'll have at least stored in my phone forever.
That'll be the wallpaper on the phone.
Yeah, literally.
I've got a few friends who their first World Tour race usually is Catalonia, and they come in thinking, well, some of them think different things. Some of them think they're proper good, and some of them are a bit wary. And they always mention how fucking brutal it is. Just the basics of like trying to move up the bunch. Like,
Oh yeah,
it's just so hard. And you
it's a
end up
different level.
questioning yourself, and it's
Yeah,
just the top guys are just top guys, aren't they? They're
it's
just
insane.
so
It's
far.
insane. I mean, and yeah, that's the craziest thing is like me, like I said, literally just hanging on for dear life to stay in the peloton on these starts. And there are guys up there smashing attacks like into the wind, trying to get in the break. I'm supposed to be getting in the breakaway too. Keep in mind, it's like that was my order of the day, and I'm like back there. So yeah, I guess these guys are just insane. But
Then
so yeah.
you head back to America to do the road race over there, the national champs. Your teammate Kyle Murphy takes the win. You finish in 10th, kind of almost in the main group, wasn't it, as well? But that must have been satisfying in a way that Kyle took the win for the team.
We did a great race there. I mean, like, just the classic. We had the numbers, two or three guys left in the bunch of maybe 10, 15 guys at the end, and I was solo for a bit, and then they brought me back, and then he went, and that was the win. So it was cool. Of course, I would have wished it would have been me. That would have helped my situation. But yeah, no, super hype for Kyle. He's a great guy, and it was a fun race to be in. Involved with.
Again, almost that story of luck. It's almost the toss of the coin. You go, you get solo, you get chased down, he goes, he wins. It's that.
Exactly.
It's
Yep,
cycling, isn't it?
exactly.
Cycling is just like that. Then
Yeah, and yeah.
you're back in Europe for another Volta Portugal.
Yeah.
So we hear that obviously this year it wasn't as bad because FC Porto had been removed before that point, I think. But most people call it Bandit Country. What is your experience of the Volta Portugal like?
Yeah, this year, well, I mean, this year, so I had a fucking annoying crash. I got like in the day before or the week before the Volta I did Ordizia in Spain. And I had someone like smashed into me on a descent from behind and like caused this huge, caused me to crash. And I just, oh God, I got so lucky. We were going absolutely flying, but I ripped my back, just shredded it clean off road rash. So yeah, definitely went into Portugal without the best preparation. But man, to answer your question, this year it was definitely a way different race because normally when you have Porto there, it's just a race between Porto and Glasdrive. And like every other rider in the race is just like they don't give a shit. Like if a breakaway of 20 guys goes up the road and the GC Porto Glasdrive battle is not involved, they don't care. They'll give it 20 minutes. But this year, without Porto there, the Glasdrive guys were just so dominant and so strong. Like they would control the race or control the breakaway with literally just one guy. It was insane. So no breakaways. Actually, no, there was one day that the breakaway won, but barely. And like last year, the breakaway won maybe 5 out of 10 days. And so this year, like that was our goal going into the race, was like, yeah, breakaways. And I was in a breakaway one day and they gave us 2 minutes max, and then all the other days 2 minutes max, and like again using one rider, it's pretty insane. Yeah, but this year it was definitely less of a crazy race. I've done it in the past where some of the tactics these Porto and Glasdrive guys were doing, it's just like, just like you make absolutely no sense. It's almost like they just want to make themselves as tired as they can. I mean, obviously everyone else in the race too, but bizarre tactics. It is an experience though.
You got to see
But
it to believe it, I think.
yeah, you really do.
Then you round off your season. Was it Slovenia, Slovakia, and Croatia? What was the shape like coming? You've had your crash in Spain towards the end of July. You're then racing in September. Did you ever regain your shape at any point?
No, Slovakia and Croatia were the first races that I can say that I've been good at in 2 years. You know, it's just like, again, it just didn't really come together. Like, for instance, like I was doing my best numbers of my life by far on the last or the queen stage of Croatia. And I had a flat tire the day before, so I was out of GC by miles already. And so I was thinking, all right, let's get in the break. And it was a major hit or break that day. And it went right up the climb, like the breakaway. And I got in it with a couple other hitters. And for some reason, they just decided the jumbo guys had a majorly defined plan that day and they wanted to just smash the race to pieces. So they gave us a minute and yeah, caught us like halfway up the long climb, which was like, you know, 100K from the finish. But they went absolutely full out on it. And so, yeah, I mean, again, another kind of day where I felt like, wow, I'm like really in good shape right now. I mean, had they given us 3 minutes, like maybe I'm in that group with, I think it was only a group of like 12 or 13 guys that went to the line that day. Like for sure, I would have been there. Had they given us a tiny bit more time, you know, just things of the bike race that could have been different. And so, yeah, didn't really kind of, I didn't put up any good results, but my training peaks looks cool. I mean, I can, it's cool numbers, I guess, for me to look at while I'm here with no contract.
Let's get to that. So
Yeah.
we know that Human Powered Health haven't offered you a new deal. So when did you start getting the bad vibe from the team?
Oh yeah, so this is where they really screwed me, and I have no fear in like, I mean, I'm not going to talk badly because they did give me the chance, but they definitely screwed me over big time this year with what they were telling me the whole year, to quote them, that it was trending in the right direction, blah, blah, blah. And this was like after Switzerland, after Nationals. So, like, I'd done nothing, in my opinion, you know, up until that point, besides like 1 or 2 days where I was like climbing all right in Switzerland and the Nationals. And they called me and said, blah, blah, it's trending in the right direction, but, you know, blah, blah, it's not totally certain. And so I was like, okay, like I need to prove it. And I thought, I mean, I didn't ride well in Portugal, but I had a few days where I did. I so like I said, I was in the breakaway that day. It didn't amount to anything because they didn't give us any time. And then I had a few pretty good climbing performances, actually. The Queen stage, I think I was 11th or 12th maybe, which, I mean, like, is not bad in Portugal for me. And then kind of was feeling a bit uncertain, but still they kept telling me, like, yeah, you know, it's trending in the right direction, you know, no, we're gonna leave the door open for you, blah, blah, blah. And then I, like, in Slovakia and in Croatia, there were a few days where, like, I was the only guy from our team in the small group of 25, 30 riders. So, I mean, yeah, I wasn't banging out a top 10 result, but I kind of was thinking, like, all right, well, I mean, everyone else from my team is 20 minutes back. So, like, maybe they'll at least value the fact that we had somebody in the bike race, you know? And then I tried to kind of clarify with them a bit towards the end of September, and they just told, and the boss just didn't respond to me for 2 weeks. And that's kind of when I knew, like, fuck, this is not looking good. But so I started emailing teams, and the teams are already kind of already full. And then, yeah, last week of September, Jonas called, or the boss, he called me and told me that it's not gonna, that they don't have a spot for me, and blah, 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 because they want riders that can go in breakaways, even though I was in as many breakaways as, that's another issue. But yeah, so by that time it's obviously way too late. And I did go to a few, like for instance, a couple of these Spanish Pro Conti teams, and I kind of told them my story, and they literally told me, two teams told me, like, yeah, I mean, like, we're interested in a rider like you, but it's too late in the year. So that's why I say they totally rally, totally. Or human powered health, excuse me. They really gave me a, they made it hard for me, that's for sure,
Why
by
do you
doing
think?
that so late.
Do you think they were trying to kind of keep their options open until the last minute in case a deal fell through for somebody? And
I think, I'd assume that's the case. What they told me is that they're going in a different direction with the team, which it does make sense. Like, the reality is, if they hired me thinking that I would be someone that, you know, can develop into a guy that can maybe be up in the top tens of these smaller races on the GC, I personally think that I can someday develop into that, but I obviously wasn't even close to that the last 2 years. So I understand why. And they told me that they're going a different direction, more towards the breakaways, the sprinting. I mean, like, if you look at the roster for who they hired next year, they literally have like 15, not kidding, like 15, like, random sprinters, kind of. And so that's their approach. And I mean, fair play to them. I, yeah.
yeah, I'm looking at it just now. We've got Anja Lichocki, Bazanek, Gibson, Joyce, Miguel, Wiemes, Van Hooke is kind of classics guy. So we've got six of the 21 signed riders so far are what we would call sprinters. So they're definitely going in the sprint direction. But
Exactly.
if they knew that, I'm pretty sure they knew that in August, so that would have been
I mean,
better.
actually, what they told me, and I kind of thought this was like a joke, is, like, they told me, like, in July, like, yeah, like, go and do a top five in Portugal, and, like, it'll be good, you know, like, and I was like, okay, like kind of thinking like, yeah, like top five on Portugal, like, but I guess they were serious, you know, like, I guess they were thinking that that's what they were looking for. So,
Yeah, that's an achievable target. That's
yeah, exactly.
okay. So you've been to a few. We heard you love living in Spain. You've learned the language. You're embracing the lifestyle. You want to be here. You've gone to a couple of the pro country teams. They've said no. So, as a rider, what were your next steps?
Right now,
When the pro country
well,
team said no, they don't have
oh,
anybody. What do you do next at
yeah,
that point?
just email as many teams as I can. I have an agent, but he is in the US. He's kind of an agent of a few bigger riders, meaning like he's not like on the like ground floor, like begging Connie teams for spots. Like, so yeah, it's my duty to just try and email teams, you know, I'd work the connections that I have, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I must have emailed a good 20, 30. I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, you know, the classic email, like info at blah, 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 team.com. And I'm sure they get 500 emails a year easy from different people. So it's hard to be one of those guys that they're going to look at. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many good riders out there these days, and just the way the sport's going with all these like 13-year-old kids that are getting signed to all these teams. It's tough for. An old 27-year-old, and really, because now I have nothing.
So you reached out on social media, you've sent off loads of emails, you know that there's a good number of top pros who are without contract. You know, every year you see this, it's becoming such a tough sport to get a deal. And then we've chatted before, so a couple of offers come in, but not what you maybe wanted.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like, again, like offers. When I say offers, I mean like teams that are telling me like, we might be interested in you. That, like, honestly, you'll laugh at this. Glass Drive is one of my offers, and you know, they're offering me literally to ride for free. So yeah, that's one of my offers. Like today, my two offers are to ride for a Spanish amateur team, which is what I'm probably going to do, and Glass Drive to ride for free.
I
So
mean,
yeah, that's where.
if anybody needed to know the harsh reality of professional cycling, well, can we call it professional cycling when
Yeah,
they offer
exactly.
this free?
Not really, brother. I don't know. I mean, yeah. So now I'm looking at like spending my days, like, you know, looking at how I can make money teaching English, or, you know, like scouring the internet for little jobs that I can take in surveys and stuff to try and see if I can figure out a way to like pay my rent next year. So yeah, that's your fucking headline of this one for
So,
you. Jeez.
Spanish, I mean, the Spanish and amateur scene is, it's not professional cycling, but it's a pretty good scene in terms of amateur racing.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, yeah, so how do you make ends meet? How do you pay the bills? So you do have to get a job.
That's kind of something that I am still working on. If I do the Spanish thing, they'll pay me a bit. I'm pretty lucky here. I think I can rent out a bit of my apartment, or at least like more or less be living for free. I mean, I'm just like, I'm gonna be really, really slumming it next year. And I am gonna, like I told you on message a few weeks ago, like I am gonna try and continue, just because I feel like I owe it to myself. And like I said, I finally have a good season of racing in my legs, so want to keep trying. So next year is gonna be It'll be tricky.
And I love the fact you want to keep trying. You know, you've waited all your life to be here in Europe and race, and it's not quite worked out for a number of reasons you've explained. I love the fact you're keeping going. Would this year be the final swing if you manage to make ends meet? You know, is do you think it would just be a case of all in this year, and then if it doesn't happen, it wasn't meant to be?
Yeah, I would like to think that I would arrive at that conclusion. I mean, I like, yeah, no, if I mean, for sure, like if next year I'm not able to find a team that, like, I'm not asking for millions or whatever, but if I'm not able to find a team that can give me a bit of a paycheck, then for sure I don't, that who knows what I do, fucking go to school or become a doctor. I have no idea. I have no idea. So yeah, I would definitely say this is a pivotal year for me, as every year is, but this one even more so. Who knows? So
And do you still have a small hope that something will appear at some point, even this late in the day? At some point, you know, who knows who's listening to this podcast? I mean,
yeah, for that. Thanks for having me on. I mean, I mean, you never know. Like, the reality is, I wouldn't say I'm the most connected person in the sport. I'm just like, I don't talk that much. I'm quite introverted. I'm not like one of these guys that's chatting up directors at races and stuff. And I know people like that, and maybe they're gonna have more opportunities than someone like me, but you never know. I mean, yeah, you never know, especially being American. I'd like to think might possibly, because just maybe some of these teams are looking for an American because whatever case reason. So yeah, I guess there's always a slight chance, and that's kind of another reason why, I mean, not that I have any other option, but the Spanish amateur thing, they would let me go. They said, like, if a pro team or a continental team comes to me, which definitely I not counting on, but yeah, so I
is
guess you're right. I mean, we do hear those stories all the time, you know, so and so who's out for a team. Who's that guy? Simon Clark, I think, was that way. Not that I'm like him at all, but yeah, you hear those stories,
You've got
so.
Shooter Cycling, the new Swiss team that's are slowly kind of putting together a team. You've got the Doug Ryder, the guy that used to be Dimension Data, he's putting together a new team as well. So let's hope.
You never know. I mean, the reality is, there's, like I said, so many guys that are absolutely insane. I definitely have not shown my highest level in the last few years, so like it's tricky, you know, like, why nobody's gonna sign me for, you don't get signed for potential when you're my age, so that's kind of, you gotta deliver, and I haven't, so yeah, here I
I
am. Going
suppose
back down to club.
what we can hope for is a healthy winter, and then allow you to have a good stab at the opening races, whatever those opening races might be,
Yeah, that's,
rather than injury, and then, you know, the same old story of the last 2 years.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be the definitive thing. If I have another bizarro health problem, no looking back, I'll be done. So we'll see. If luck's on my side, then it's on my side. If it's not, it's not.
I
It's
like
kind
the,
of, I see it.
I do like it, despite all your misfortune, and you've had plenty,
Yeah.
you remain positive, you remain driven,
Yeah.
and you still want to chase the dream.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's such a cool experience just to be over here in Spain. And I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be here without this cycling project that I'm trying to do for myself. And like, for me, learning the language is something that I'll take forever in my life, and that's, honestly, that's worth it for me. And just to see this culture and have these memories of, you know, I went to the Pyrenees this last weekend, like, it's just great. I'm just trying to enjoy it like that. And if when I have to go back or figure it out what's going to be next, then that's my turn to do it. But hopefully, I feel like some reason I deserve a bit of a year without any catastrophes. And then if I can have that and I don't get anything or I don't get any results, then pfft, just not good enough and I'll go on. So yeah.
Well, Keegan, thank you very
That's
much for your time
yeah, of course,
and
man.
honesty.
Love
We're
chatting.
hoping for an injury and health season for yourself and a
Yeah.
chance to show what you've got.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. Good to chat. Spectacular diagnostics.
Full kumite, accumulate pace. First razor blade for the gate, we're moving weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change, flight delay, light haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the route, the rent park is way park waves. Like moose hard, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to ball cane. But brought a broad brain with all game, you snow change. She threw like a solid grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, not daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like. Should be fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like the standard. Feathers and quillers, I bite the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda palaces, we go to some blowing haze in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with disco, King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the pill off without watching his body fall. Porky ass with the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone. Skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo. Chop the rock to 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at. You know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.